Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Konnichiwa Podcast. I'm Talia.
And I'm Jared.
And it's been a while.
It has been a second.
It has been a hot second. Listen, guys.
We started streaming.
We started, okay, well, I was actually going to start with, sometimes we don't have ideas for what to do with a podcast.
Yeah, and so we don't want to just put out just stuff.
Yeah, we like to have a topic, and so we've been a little bit
lost.
Gonna say if some sort of like block.
Yeah, we've
something
had,
of a block for the podcast, but we did start streaming on Twitch. It's the same as our podcast, Konnichiwa, if you guys want to check it out.
Yeah, if you want to see us more often, we'll definitely be there.
Yeah, and we can still talk about anime. You want to come and talk about anime? We're there.
Oh yeah, we're welcome.
But for this episode, we went to WeebCon for the second year in a row.
WeebCon 2024.
Yep, which
same
is
same place, Gaylord.
Fourth year, right?
Fourth year, yes.
Fourth year, so it's a pretty young convention.
So we've been to half of the WeebCons.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You know, it didn't actually really click with me that this is a COVID convention. This convention started post-COVID.
You're right. It doesn't act like it.
No, it does not.
But
actually, no, I might actually say it kind of does, because one thing that we can start off with is that they had limited tickets.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So we got our tickets the day after the last WeebCon.
Yeah.
Because they had a promotional sale. We got an email, essentially.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, you can get like the cheapest tickets right now.
Yeah.
So we bought our tickets the day after the last one, and we've just had them.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, they announced kind of later on that they were going to do limited ticket sales.
Yeah. So basically what they did is that once every couple months, they would do like a burst of tickets.
Yes.
And so they'd be like, here's February tickets.
Right.
Here's December tickets.
And then when they're sold out, they're sold out. You have to wait for the next time to go through.
And they announced like a couple days before the convention that Saturday, actually, like tickets for Saturday had been sold out.
Yes. So it was a packed convention by the standards of the convention itself.
Yeah.
So that, and I think that that's good.
Yeah.
I think that limiting conventions is okay. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that it's probably a dicey subject for some people. But if you don't get in, you don't get in. That does suck.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, and we'll get to Saturday, but it was needed.
Oh, 100%.
It was needed. But so let's just kind of hop right into it. WeebCon at the Gaylord in Grapevine, very close to us. A location that is not the most convenient.
It is not convenient at all.
It's not very convenient because since it is a resort, it's kind of in a bubble. You are either there, you get there and you can't really leave very easily.
Yes. There is nothing around it.
Nope.
And so that also means that there is limited parking.
Yes.
It's not going to be very easy to find, like, oh, if this is filled up, where do I park next?
Right.
Which happened.
Yes, on Saturday. But we're going to get to Saturday. Yeah. First Friday. Another thing about this convention, it starts really late.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get there whenever it started because we knew from last year that it's kind of a wonky start time. So last year, I want to say that it was supposed to open at 1, I think. And it didn't open until 2 because of reasons beyond our knowledge.
Yeah, I think that it was just a miscommunication.
Oh, with like the dealers and stuff?
Yeah, so basically what I think it was that... What I think it was that VIPs were supposed to go in at 1. And then everyone else was supposed to go in at 2.
But
they didn't set that. They just said
opens at 1.
Yeah,
I understand.
Because that's how it was this year.
So
VIPs got in an hour early.
Got it. That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the convention set start time was 2 p.m., which is kind of late.
It's pretty late.
But, I mean, plenty of time to get ready, right? Yeah. And because we know that there is no food at this convention, or no affordable
good concessions
that are affordable, we were like, great, we can have a big lunch also before we leave, and we will be okay for the day. So we get there like 2:30. Like, we get there pretty late. We go to our secret parking spot, which is still available and still a secret. Sorry, guys.
For the most part.
Well, it's a secret that we're not going to disclose on the internet. We get to our secret parking spot, and we're a little bit concerned because there's a security around.
Yeah, there's a security guard.
But he's essentially asleep in his car, so, like, it's fine. And so our first little, I guess, run-in was we did, like, run into somebody.
Yeah, right, and we helped them out.
We helped them out because they were having some trouble with their costume, and it was very windy, you know?
Yes, it was very windy on
Very windy. And it is, like, a bit of a walk. They had on, like, some... like more costumey shoes, so they needed some help, and
some stompers.
Yes, we offered our help, and we walked with them to the front, and they said, you know, I am actually a disabled vet, so I can get you guys to the front of the registration line since you guys helped me out. Like, this is what I'll do. And we were like, okay.
I don't know about, like, the ethics of that.
No, I don't know about that, like, either, but we were like, okay.
We were grateful.
We were very grateful. We were very grateful. Yeah. And we did get to skip the line because of that. Mm-hmm.
Which I will say, the line wasn't very long.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. Like, I will say that.
And there were multiple lines, but everyone was going to one line.
Because it was the first one that you saw. Yeah. Because of how the Gaylord is set up, those are, like, set registration sites, right? Those are set desks. And they're very far apart from each other. Mm-hmm. So you go to the first one that you see. It just makes sense. There's no, like, oh, like, maybe there's, like, four in a line, and you obviously will just walk to them. It is what it is, right? So we get our badges super easy, and we go to... Well, we try to get to the exhibitor room. So it's there's one entrance to the exhibitors hall, and it's not in the middle.
It's not. It was at the very, very end
of the hallway, which I'm guessing is to help with crowding.
Yes, probably.
It's probably to help with crowding, and it's probably for the best. But it was a slight nuisance.
Because we thought it was the entrance, and then we realized then they were like, you're on the other end.
Yeah. So it's a slight nuisance, but I'm sure it's for the best.
Yeah.
So we get in. We honestly don't even...
No, we try to navigate it. Because the thing about starting at one side is that you start at the Atasha car show. And there's, like, nothing there. And so,
it's
like,
the car show.
Yeah, exactly. And so you kind of have to figure out, okay, so at conventions, you have to figure out, am I going vertical or horizontal through the art, through the dealer's room?
Yes. Am I doing double passes also?
Yes, exactly. Because this one in particular, I won't say is as bad as,
No, we've been to some odd shaped ones before.
Frontier is very oddly shaped. They kind of cram as many people as possible.
Yeah, and they have bigger boots also at Frontier.
So it intersects a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice on this one kind of more than some of the other ones with the dealers, there was a lot more inside booths. So, like, the convergent booths. Right. So, like, there's horizontal booths, there's vertical booths, and then there's kind of the booths that are, like, in between those.
Right.
I noticed there were a lot of those. And so there was a lot of, like, okay, I have to, like, go, like, in,
bing, bing, bing.
Take a right, go back, go forward, go forward. Yeah, and so you have to be a little strategic with it.
Right, and we are pretty, I feel like we are maybe insane and how strategic we are whenever we go through a dealer's room, because we are people who want to see everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. We aren't going to buy everything. We're not going to be interested in everything, but we want to see everything. So we are kind of meticulous about how we navigate that
space. We're very picky. We want to make sure that we see everything.
Yes. So, but we essentially go to our first panel kind of early. Once again, we get there a little bit on the later side of things because we were taking our time. their first panel is at 4:15. Yeah, 4:15, and yes. It is the otakus and con culture. Now, we mean no disrespect.
Yeah.
We mean no disrespect. Doing a panel, doing a presentation in any form is difficult, and it's not for everybody. Yes. It is a skill that needs to be practiced.
And it's very obvious when it's not practiced.
And it's obvious when it's not practiced. So we mean no disrespect when we say this, but the panel was a little bit of a mess.
It was a lot of bit of a mess.
A lot of bit of a mess. And we you know...
I just want to throw this out there. The panel was otakus and con culture.
Go ahead and read the description.
And says, there's no denying the otaku community has changed over the years, but how does that affect us, both as individuals and the community as a whole, and what are we supposed to do to make of these changes? So, this, in my eyes, is like, okay, we're going to get some people that have, like, experienced con culture and weeb otaku culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I kid you not, us two, we were the oldest people in that room, including the other guests.
Yes.
And it was kind of funny.
Maybe one other guest was our age, the one that kept asking questions on our left.
No.
You don't think so?
Because she said that...
No, the guy behind her.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Really?
I really think that he's younger than me.
Oh, okay.
I really do.
Okay.
I think he was just big.
Maybe. But, it became very obvious that we were the oldest people, the oldest people in the room. Because these people have not been... I mean, we've been experiencing this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
cons for 10 years.
For some people, yeah. I mean, for some people, 3 years is a long time. You know, like, it is what it is. What do you call a veteran, right?
Yeah.
But we thought that this was going to be better.
Yeah.
It was going to be better than it was. We stuck around. We tried to participate. Yeah. Always go into a mindset that whenever a panel is run by someone who is an amateur at running panels, to do, you know, your best to participate.
Because exactly,
that's, like, honestly how you can help make the panel better. But it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. It wasn't really what we were looking for out of this panel. And it made us more confident to apply to do... this panel in particular, ourselves.
As two people that have, I'd go as far as to say study anime culture,
weeb
culture.
We have. We paid our college tuition. Yeah. We have.
Yeah. this is something that we have great interest in.
We have great interest in. We've done an episode on it on the podcast before.
So hit that like and subscribe if you think that we should do a panel at our next convention.
Yes, I think it is something that we should definitely look into.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll let anybody do a panel.
Yeah, this really proved it.
They'll let anybody do a panel. Once again, no disrespect.
Yeah, no disrespect.
No disrespect. They were you were trying your best.
Yeah, they were college students just... wanting to have a fun time. And this is the thing. They didn't even have a presentation.
They didn't have a presentation.
And I feel like that's, like, kind of...
red flag.
Yeah, red flag. Or, like, baseline what you need for a discussion.
For a discussion,
Because there was really no information given.
No.
It was all just kind of
isn't
talking.
It weird? Isn't it odd?
Yeah.
Have you noticed? Have you noticed?
Yeah. And one thing that, like... was, like, the biggest, like, okay, we can leave, was whenever they were, like, I think it had to do with Kiss Anime, like, the website Kiss Anime.
Does anybody remember Kiss Anime?
No. What they said is that they were, like, I saw on TikTok that people used to use Kiss Anime, and it was something along those lines of, like, I saw on TikTok that people used to do this. And, like, but it was stuff that, like,
we did. Seriously.
Like, 5-10 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. not honestly that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, okay, so, like,
We need to go home and we need to get on that presentation.
Yeah, right, we need to make a prezi and like we need to be in
register
the next
for AFES. Let's go.
Yeah.
But that was that. After that, we had some time to kill. We actually, so the way that the convention is set up, there's a set of escalators. Mm-hmm. So you park on the ground floor, you go up an escalator, and that is where the registration and the exhibitors hall is. Mm. From there, you go up another set of escalators, actually two sets of escalators, and that is where the artist alley, the more voice actors, there's voice actors in the exhibitors hall, and then there's voice actors outside of there. Artist alley, voice actors, panels, the panels are up there, the ballrooms are up there, and the photography's up there. So we were already on the panel floor, right? We left the exhibitor floor, went up to the panel floor. And we're like, okay, well, we're up here. Let's go to the artist alley because we're already up here. And I think I remembered this from last year. It's a little small.
Yeah, it's packed.
It's packed in. It's in a, it's, yeah, it's just very packed in. But still good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people that we don't see all the time. You know, we saw some new faces there.
Yeah, no, some I new fully crafts, agree. We, definitely. You know, we go to, like, MENA. We go to, you know, conventions.
All
and
these
so,
conventions in North Texas, yeah.
We see a lot of the same people. But there are
it's always fun whenever you see somebody new.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And we'll have a, or, yes. I thought you were going to say something else. that it's fun seeing people that you've seen before.
Yes, and it's also fun seeing people you've seen
say,
before.
Because that happened. Yes, you know, something yes. like that happened. But, so yeah, it was cool seeing new people because that always brings new merch,
just like a different
kinds of merch.
Yes, new kinds of merch, different perspectives on what I mean, what people can do.
Yeah.
Something that I saw, first in the artist alley. Once again, we didn't get through the whole exhibitors hall, so you know, there's overlap. But in the artist alley, the Game Boy terrariums.
Yes.
I thought those were really cool.
They were
I
really, cool.
really like doing like miniature stuff like that. I mean, if you watch our Twitch, if you watch our streams, you see that we are kind of pretty crafty people that just like to make little things.
Yeah.
And I saw that those Game Boy terrariums, and I'm like, this is really cool.
I'm curious as to I'm pretty sure they just 3D printed
the
Game
Boy
Boys,
itself.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that was cool, and oh, there was another thing, and I lost what it was, I think. Regardless, there's one other thing, and I forgot. Oh, the retro cards.
Oh, yes.
Retro cards as keychains, as earrings.
Sorry, Game Boy cartridges.
Yeah. There's Game Boy cartridges. There were
DS.
64 cartridges, right. There were DS.
Because the N64 ones were in, or they were in multiple places.
There were multiple
There's
places,
one
yeah.
thing about this con that we'll probably talk a little more later, is that what is a vendor and what is an artist? Very vague.
Pretty vague, honestly. Regardless, so we looked, there were some new things, some cool things. I only bought one thing kind of impulsively that day, and it was an Oran High School keychain because it had all of them on it. And I liked that it had all of them on it, and I liked the art style a lot. So then the next thing that we went to was the string quartet.
Yes, very cool.
Very cool. So there was a string quartet at the convention on the main stage. Professionals, adults.
Yes,
it was really cool to watch.
Yeah, they did like intros to...
Yeah, anime intros. Anime melodies.
Yeah.
They opened with Evangelion, strong opening, very strong opening. And
it was kind of funny because the lead violinist, he really wasn't into anime.
He wasn't super into
he,
anime.
He like admitted that and it was just kind of funny because it's like, yeah, this is just a gig.
It's just a gig, but I mean, if you guys like it, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Because there is one thing, you know, or you were going
to... I was going to say, he'd make jokes like, okay, I actually know this one.
Yeah.
Here's Sailor Moon.
Yeah. but one thing about Anime Frontier is that their guests are just phenomenal.
WeebCon.
Sorry, WeebCon tier. Sorry, WeebCon.
WeebCon, yes.
WeebCon tier. Oh my god, what did I just say?
Sorry. WeebCon, no, the guests.
Yeah, there's something about WeebCon is that the guests are just so spectacular.
Good. They're so good. It really makes because we will. You know, we have cons, right? Like, yeah. There are negative things that happen.
Pros and cons, like
at this convention, but. The guest list is insane. Yes. It's insane. Yeah.
There's really no other convention in North Texas that has the same caliber. Like, honestly, I almost want to say that, like, I mean, you know, rest in peace, Akon.
Rest in peace, Akon.
But, like, I don't even know if, like...
If Akon had the same caliber as this.
Like, I never went to Akon, and I don't really look at it.
Right.
But, like... The people that they're getting are ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So this concert was really good.
Yes.
I wanted to make a small joke, a small observation, if you will.
A PSA.
Because I don't know if you guys knew this about us. We were in high school band.
Mm-hmm.
So we did many a concerts in our time. And I want to acknowledge that this is... a convention and not a concert necessarily. Yes. This wasn't a concert. It was a performance, if you will. But with that being said, if you're going to talk during it, can you sit in the back?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
If you're going to talk during a concert, can you please at least sit in the back?
Like, this is a concert. Like, give them the respect of watching it.
Of watching it and of listening to it.
Yes.
But we came in and we sat kind of in the middle because the last time that we saw something, the last WeepCon.
Yeah.
The sound was a little janky.
And, it was really loud.
And it was really loud. So we were like, okay, let's sit a little bit further back because what if it's like really loud? But everything was balanced. Yes. Everything was balanced this time. But while we were back there, there was a lot of chatting. And I was like, you know what? Maybe that's on us.
Yeah, we're sitting kind of in the back. So let's
move forward.
Move forward, yeah.
There was still chatting happening, like, right behind us. And we were, like, four rows from the front.
Yeah.
So
if you go to a concert...
If you go to a musical performance...
If
you go to any performance...
Don't talk.
And the room... The room was big enough that if you wanted to... speak about something, you could have just sat in the back.
Yeah, because it wasn't packed. It wasn't one of those things where it was like, hey, you know, where this is really cool.
Yeah,
it was like, no whispering. Hey, so what are we doing after this?
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, shut up.
Yes, we were definitely giving dirty looks. But that's my PSA. Is that I don't want to say if you're coming to this, you better shut up.
You are.
Me, at least sit in the back.
Yeah, no, sit in the back.
Sit in the back if you're not going to. Anyway, that was not the last thing we did.
No.
Because we, right after that, went to another panel. We didn't stay for very long because it was more of one of those things where we just wanted to see what it was, and then we saw what it was, and then we were done.
Yeah.
It was called Anime Dilf or Dump.
Yes. Potentially a really good panel. I think the main problem was that their microphones didn't work.
Yeah, their microphones didn't work. It was a packed panel.
Yes.
I mean, with a title like Anime Dilf or Dump.
18+.
18+.
Mm-hmm. Because this was at like 8?
This was at 8.
Yeah.
They were starting to card people at this point. Like, whenever we left, you couldn't get into the convention. Unless you were 18.
Yeah.
Over 18. So, you know, like cursing and sexiness and whatever was allowed. So we first, because we come from another panel though, or another performance, the string quartet, we had trouble finding seating. We did luck out, but we were kind of in the back. Very packed panel. People were standing. No one expects a panel like this to be quiet.
Yeah.
No one expects it. If you have been to a convention... once it turns like 8 p.m. like that, 7 p.m. even sometimes, no panel room is going to be quiet.
Yeah. And let me be real here. This is a panel for horny Fujoshis.
It's a panel for horny Fujoshis.
And gay men.
Yes.
And that's exactly who turned up.
That's exactly who turned out. So we once again, the biggest issue was just the microphone not really working because we were sitting in the back, we couldn't always hear what they were saying. But it was all in good fun.
Yeah.
The panel was all in good fun. More than anything, it was just, let's talk about our favorite dads and why they're hot.
Let's yell about our favorite dads
and everybody, like, now yell if you like him.
Yes, it was a fun panel.
It was a fun panel, especially, okay, the first person that...
Yes, they were so passionate.
She was very they were very passionate.
Okay, and...
And then you showed me the picture, and yes, I was like...
Oh my God, it was... Okay, so they were so passionate. I like osmosis, no One Piece.
Yes, it was about One Piece.
Jinbei. It was this woman was so passionate and horny for Jinbei. And he's a big, fat shark man. Like, but not like sexy.
Not like, well, but sexy to them, sexy, apparently.
But meaning like dad bod. Like, yes. Honestly, he was the perfect character for the Dilfer Dump.
Yes.
Because it was like, he's not objectively sexy. He's not made to look
he's
sexy.
He's not made to look sexy.
But he is a father.
But he's a father. And they were like, he's a good father.
Yes.
And like, they were ready with their points. They were ready. And everyone was like, they got good points, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't even go here, but they got good points.
But, like, the character itself, not, like... He's not, like bait at all.
No, he's not bait. He's not bait. You showed me a picture, and I was like, him? Yeah. But most... It essentially turned into... Well, it turned into a lot of, this is my Delph, and everyone was like, yay! And then that was it.
Well, not and necessarily.
Then, and because... then it turned into... But is this person a good father?
Yes. And very quickly, it turned into, okay, he's a bad dad, but he gets better. And people were like,
he's a bad dad, boo. It was on the ground.
Yes. Okay, so that one specifically was about the dad in My Hero Academia, Todoroki's dad, who, like, literally, like, abused him and like because there was a tier list of like good dad, bad dad, and they were like, put him on the ground, like below F tier.
Yes.
Yeah, so
it was really fun and I haven't been to a panel like that in a long time.
Me
because
too.
Because we go to informational panels and we go to games. I mean, technically, I guess this was kind of a game. But we go to information panels.
Well,
and
we haven't
game.
Been to an 18-plus panel
in a
long time.
We haven't been to an 18-plus panel in a long time. And I looked at you. I remember I looked at you and I said, this makes me feel young again.
Yeah. You know what?
This makes me feel young
the
again.
The last time I went to a panel like that was my freshman year of college at...
Was it IkiCon?
At San Japan.
San Japan?
Uh-huh. I did a Waifu Wars.
Yeah, you won.
At San Japan. And it was the exact same thing of like, okay, talk about your waifu. And then you say something like witty.
Yeah.
And then the whole room blows up.
Or boo.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just fun.
It's fun. It's good energy, you know. Like I said, we didn't stay for very long. Mm-hmm. We got through a couple and then we were like, all right, we got these.
Well, the reason we left, the main reason is because we couldn't hear them.
I couldn't hear who they were talking about. Yeah. So we left and that was kind of our night.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff though. I mean, everything was closed by then, so you know, nothing else to do. And we didn't have anything else, any other 18-plus things that we wanted to really look at. So next day, Saturday. Let's talk about Saturday.
Oof.
So we got a little bit of a late start and that's our own fault.
Yeah, that's
because we cosplayed on Saturday. We were Frieren and Himmel.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of had a late start.
Yeah.
You know?
It happens.
So we're on the way to the convention, and there are no more parking spots left in our secret spot. So then we're like, okay, we have to bite the bullet and
pay for parking.
Now, the line for parking is suspiciously long.
Yes.
Suspiciously long and moving suspiciously slow. So I also tweeted about this because I had so much like anger.
Mm-hmm.
I was just irritated because, I mean, where this story ends is that we get to the front and there are signs that say no more parking.
Yes. And police say, go in the city
to find parking. Just go find some in the city, which we've already established. There's nothing near the Gaylord. It's not close.
Yeah.
So, but the things that led up to just this being a really irritating thing was that the only sign saying that there was no more parking was at the very front, at the intersection where you would turn into a parking garage.
Which I will also say that this is on the Gaylord, is that once you hit a certain point, so the long drive that, or the long road that goes down to the entrance to the Gaylord, so there's like two or three places to turn up until the halfway point. Yes. And then once you hit that halfway point, there's no more places to turn.
Yeah.
And so, like,
a sign.
Yeah.
If they needed more signs that said, that said, we're out of parking.
Yeah.
Because people would have bailed. Like, yeah, if you knew, if you knew, and then we wouldn't have to sit in this long line.
Yeah.
Just to learn that we can't even park up there. So that was really irritating.
But.
But it was also a secret blessing.
Yes.
It was a secret blessing because we stayed in that long line and we got all the way to the front and we were like, well, we might have to do some illegal parking.
Yeah.
But we get up there. We turn after the officer tells us, go find parking somewhere else.
Yeah.
We turn and they just open a lot up.
Yep. They opened up a lot right next to the parking garage.
Yeah. Like a side lot. And it's
cheaper.
It's... it was a little bit cheaper.
Yes, it's a little bit cheaper.
And small, I will say. It was small. But we, it like just opened.
Yeah.
So I saw they were, all they did was had signs. They had like an arrow and it was two people working like.
No, it was super like coincidence.
It because, was so
like,
coincidental.
They like, I think they like opened it up and then I like am going by and you tell me to ask them if that's parking.
Yeah.
And so I like point, I'm like, is, can we park there? And they're like, yeah. Yeah. And so it was perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So, you know, my our nerves are calmed. We're back to zen. We have our parking and it's close. You know. And
it was still $18.
It was still $18, but it was
compared to having to probably pay $25 to park like half a mile away.
Yeah. It's an issue. Mm-hmm. So, but once again, we can also circle this back around to Saturday was sold out.
Yes.
So and that's, it's, so whenever you buy a 2-day pass, it's Friday and Saturday, right?
I believe so, yes.
Like, if it says 2-day, it's Friday, Saturday, not...
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So, that's, I guess, still a lot of people.
Yes.
And the Gaylord, once again, because it isn't in a city, can sometimes feel cramped. It's a huge place. It's a huge place. But... it is one place. Mm-hmm. It is a singular place.
Yeah, it's not like here's a hotel and here's the water gardens next to it.
And there's here the convention are center.
Convention
and
then
there's
center.
There's another hotel.
And then, yeah.
You walk down a little bit, there's probably a Starbucks over there.
It's
you
all
know?
Just one thing.
It's just one place. So we get there, we get our boba because we're like, we need we need a treat right now. We get our boba.
Which they cheaped us out a little bit.
They
this
cheaped
year.
Us out a little bit. They didn't fill it up all the way. But
I mean, they had big eyes.
Yeah, big ice. I'm a less ice in my boba person.
So little nitpick things of like we love what is it? Boba Diction?
Yeah, Boba Diction.
We love them because they have well, Taro.
They have the Holo Holo.
Yeah, they have Taro Boba, which is just rebranded Holo Holo boba.
Cause it has the fruit gummies in it also, which we like. So the thing that we go to first, and we get there right on time, is 60 years of voice acting with Toru how do you say his last name? I'm so sorry. Furuya?
Yeah.
With Toru Furuya. With Toru.
Yeah.
With Toru.
With Amuro's voice actor.
With Amuro's voice actor. Now, this is what we mean.
This is a literal legend.
This is a literal legend. So, 60-year career.
Yes, this is a literal legend. Arguably one of the most recognized male voice actors in Japan. Like Amuro, Yamcha, Tuxedo Mask, the main character of Saint Seiya. Like, this is, like, legendary.
Yes.
And he's at this convention that's only been up for 4 years.
Crazy. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... there were 6 guests from Japan this year.
Yeah.
And last year there was only one.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think there was 2.
Maybe there was 2.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I forgot the other one. One of them came back again. It was Hirokatsu Kihara.
Yeah.
Who is a production officer. So he's not a voice actor, but a production officer, works in the industry for Ghibli and Sunrise.
Yeah, he works for Ghibli now. He used to be at Sunrise.
He used to be at Sunrise. Yeah.
So I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one that did the Sunrise panel last year with all the
never before seen hand drawn.
Which I will say again this year, during the Furuya panel, they said that there's no recording.
Mm-hmm. No recording. Mm-hmm. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
That really does make sense. But back on track, all we're saying is that it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Like, how can they get these guests?
How can they get them? It's crazy. So we're here with, you know, Toru, and it's 60 years. 60 years in voice acting. Just a pretty general panel about going through all of his big roles.
Mm-hmm.
His start at 15 years old, although he said he was a child actor before that. Was. But
he was in like a really famous acting group. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it's called though.
Yeah, but his start as a child actor, and then everything he's done since then, and you get the anecdotal, like, how I got this role, and, it was really cool.
It was really, really cool.
It was really
and
cool.
And so he did a couple lines, from his shows, and then 5 people were able to ask him to do specific lines.
Yes, 5 people.
So it was really cool.
Yeah, they were like, okay, we got some time, like, anybody want to come up and, you know, ask him to do a line? And some of them were, like, general, like, oh, your favorite tuxedo mask line. But some of them were like, they were ready, they had their moments, they knew what moment they wanted.
Yeah, they were all, I'm pretty sure, pretty
iconic
lines.
Yeah. But it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And we were really glad that we got to see it.
Oh yeah, I'm very glad.
Oh yeah. After that, we did some pretty general walking around.
Didn't we? Was that the day that we tried to do the idol stuff?
No, that was the day before.
Oh, okay.
The day before we did.
I'll just do a real quick summary of that.
We looked inside and we were like, we're good.
Yeah, so we showed up a little late to that. And,
our bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was. I personally really like idols.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing them do their little song and dance.
Yeah.
But they need. They need the right stage. So whenever I did it, whenever I went and saw the Idol Fest at IkiCon, they had like production. Like they had a nice stage. There was plenty of seating.
Right. If they were on the main stage, it would have been different.
It wasn't like the main stage, but it was like
a good stage.
Just right below that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this time we looked into the room and it was like maybe like the third option for a stage, like third or fourth option, not quite the main stage.
Right. But now moving back to Saturday.
Yeah.
So we do the voice acting panel and then we just shop.
We shopped that because
we finished the exhibitor hall. We didn't even finish the day before. We went back to the exhibitors hall. We did all of our nook and cranny looking around, right? Got to catch the deals. Got to see what's there.
We really didn't.
Things that
I bought 2 shirts.
You bought 2 shirts.
Yeah.
I was going to say general observations on this exhibitor room. 1, no tattoo artists.
No tattooed artists.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
Which is okay with us. More room for art, right? 2, lots of voice actors.
Yes, that is one thing about...
Whole way around voice actors. So many people.
That's another thing about WeebCon.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge guest list.
Huge guest list. Yeah. And
notable ones, too.
Notable ones. We have, like, half the cast of the live-action One Piece.
Yes.
We have the whole cast of Hazbin Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We got, big names. We got J. Michael Tatum. We got Max Middleton. Like, we got, like...
Yeah, they're... a lot of people.
A lot of people.
You know who I actually didn't see this year, and maybe I just overlooked? I didn't see Naruto's voice actress this year.
She might have been there, but yeah, I think I just overlooked. Yeah, but big guest list. Big guest list people. They had the Japanese Japanese talent in a separate area, by the way.
They had huge lines.
Because they had bigger lines. Yeah. they couldn't be in the exhibitor hall. They would clash.
It's, so the Japanese voice talent had a separate area, but the biggest lines were for the One Piece people. They were in a lobby.
Oh yeah.
So
notable. Okay, so lots of voice talent. No tattoo artists.
There are also cosplayers, like professional cosplayers. Oh, professional cosplayers.
But yeah, they were there.
Whatever. I mean, they good for them.
Good for them. Good for them. It's good for them. But now, we're not into that. Bishoujo Mama was there.
Oh my gosh.
I'd have to.
Oh, was
I'd
she there to... last year or was she?
No, she was at the Frontier.
Yeah, she was at Frontier.
She wasn't there. Right. Yeah, no, Bishoujo Mama was there. I have to say hello. But what else was I gonna say? There was more. Oh, the whole what qualifies for the artist versus what qualifies for vendor. So these places are usually separated based on how big the company, called a company, is. The artist alley is for independent artists, right? Pretty straightforward stuff. That's more going to be fan art, keychains, pins.
Yeah. Mostly handmade things.
Mostly handmade things, stickers.
If not exclusively handmade things.
Yes. And then there's the exhibitors hall / vendors hall, whatever you want to call it. That is usually companies that sell figures and like weaponry and
machine-made things.
More machine-made things. Now.
Or mass-produced.
Mass-produced. Mass-produced is a better way to say it than machine-made. Yeah. This particular convention, WeebCon, the line was very thin.
It was very, very thin
because I usually don't buy art or things. I don't buy things that I would buy in the artist alley in the vendor hall. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, there are a lot of like, here's some posters I made.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say we knew some of the artists.
Yeah,
because they've been to Mina. And Mina is exclusively an artist alley.
Yeah.
So, like, the line is very thin, and I don't know what has to happen for you to qualify for either one. Mm-hmm. But there were definitely people that I have seen in artist alleys in the exhibit hall.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
So, I just wanted to, like, put that out there that, like, it's the line was really thin in this convention.
Another thing that I wanted to just point out this year is that there were, like, there was, like, a lot of 3D printed stuff.
Yes.
There's a lot of 3D printed stuff.
Yes. Because, I mean, a 3D printer is not something that everyone has access to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it's okay. It doesn't really appeal to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not same. Always. I mean, it's, like, a cool little doodad, but not something I'm gonna buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that last year, I believe, we talked about the quality of the vendor hall. And the I think it was here we talked about the quality of the vendor hall and how it was mostly Funko Pops,
right?
And so this is kind of like been a shift of like, okay, there's less Funko Pops but there's more 3D printed stuff.
Yes,
which is arguably not necessarily better.
Probably not, like, I mean, not really. It's,
yeah,
it's also it appeals to a different audience.
Yeah,
worth noting. Okay, the presence of lewd content. I don't, because remember last year, the last WeebCon.
Yes,
there was a lot. There was a lot.
Yes, there was a lot, and pretty explicit.
Pretty explicit. I would go so far as to say there was less amount.
Most definitely.
This convention.
There was a lot less.
There's a lot less in the amount, but we had the spiciest booth that I have ever seen at a convention.
I almost wonder if people got in trouble last year because they were very more censored this year. They're very more careful about their lewd content this year.
Yes. I mean, granted, the Gaylord as a place the Gaylord is a family-friendly location.
Yeah, I mean, it's a resort.
It's a resort. Like, they have Christmas there every year. They want you to bring your children.
Yeah, Easter this year.
Yeah, they have they have all the events where they want to bring your kids. And I think that, yeah, something probably happened. But there was the spiciest booth that I have ever seen at a convention.
Me too. It was crazy. It was
crazy spicy. So here's how it's set up. It is a booth. A booth is like a square / rectangular space. Mm-hmm. Curtains all the way around. Black curtains. Two bouncers.
Mm-hmm.
Two bouncers that were like by the curtains. And they were like, they didn't ask for RIDs.
They didn't ask for RIDs.
But they were checking. Yes. And there was signs on it that said 18 plus only mature content.
Yes. And boy, was it mature.
I was like, I just have to see. Yeah. I have to. Yeah. The curiosity is too much. And they...
And I saw figures I never even thought existed.
They were spicy.
There was one figure that will stick with me for the
rest of our lives.
It was like...
Can we even say it?
I'm going to say it in the most vague way possible. There was a naked figure of a woman.
Completely. Completely.
And legs, she was on her back.
Legs spread.
Legs spread. And there were some bodily... There was a figure. Like a piece.
A figure. Of,
like bodily removable. Bodily fluid squirting
coming
out.
Coming out. Yes. Coming and out.
It was art. Like, it was beautiful. I've never seen anything like it.
And okay, so that one was the most wild, but there were definitely other topless, pantyless.
Like everything modeled and shown.
Figures out of their box.
Yeah. Like, because that's the thing, is that they sell figures kind of like.
They sell lewd figures, but they put them in the box. At Kinokuniya.
Yes, and the boxes are closed.
Yes, at Kinokuniya, they put the QR code on it, so it'll send you a link to the product image, so you can see what's inside. These are out. Yes. These were out. Boobs. Everything. Out.
You know, everything.
And it was just wild. It was just wild. I've never seen anything like that.
Me either.
But, you know what? It's...
They probably made a killing.
They probably made a freaking killing. You know they did. And you know what? It's covered. So I can't.
Yeah,
even,
it's covered. It's
completely
can't
covered.
Even be mad about
I can't
it.
Even be mad at it.
Covered and bouncered.
Yes. Covered, double bouncered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, like, good on them.
Good on them. I can't even be mad at it. But it was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was our day, though. We just kind of looked around. And then. Oh, we did go to the game room, though.
Yeah.
So the game room
was cool.
Really cool. It was retro themed.
Yes.
So.
So the company that sponsored the game room was a retro arcade.
Right. Yeah. So typically whenever you go to a game room at a convention, it is kind of like land styled as far as...
it's usually half and half. So there's half arcade games, half LAN.
Yeah.
So like consoles and things
consoles
like that.
Consoles with TV. And what I wanted to get at, though, is usually the LAN side is like new things.
Yeah.
It's like, it's things that,
it's
like,
mostly the newest fighting games.
It's mostly the newest fighting games, and then, freaking Brawl will be thrown in there.
Melee.
Yeah. Melee will be thrown in there somewhere. But, like, it's usually the newest fighting games. But, first of all, this LAN was huge.
It was, yeah.
It was very big. Usually it's more like, I mean, 10, maybe like 10 TVs.
It depends, but yeah.
But this was, like, huge.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And it was all retro games, so it's all... Original Xbox.
Yeah, so...
PlayStation 2. GameCube.
So
NES.
It was... Yeah. Like, PlayStation 2 and before.
Right.
So, like, original Xbox, GameCube. I actually saw some... I saw a...
There's an Atari somewhere, wasn't there?
There was a... Yeah. Oh my god, what is it called? A Dreamcast.
A Dreamcast,
there
yeah,
was a
yeah.
Sega Dreamcast, yeah. Which I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, and they're all on box TVs.
Yeah.
Also, not flat screens, box TVs for the aesthetic.
Well, the
because of the plugins.
So yeah. That's not even the reason. No. So the reason why retro consoles use CRTs usually at conventions is because they run better. So like the actual plugin itself, if you connect it to a CRT, there's less lag between. Okay. So that's why like, so competitive Melee is usually on CRTs because there's less lag.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was really cool.
We got to play some Tekken 3.
They had some arcade games too.
They had some arcade games and some of them were new, some of them were old.
Yeah.
And then all of the game tournaments were retro games.
Yes, that was crazy.
That's crazy. Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
Tekken
there was
3.
There was a lot of 64 games.
Yeah, a lot of 64 games.
For their, so all of their tournaments were
retro style.
Yeah.
Which was like really cool.
We didn't go to any,
but it was cool.
I think they had both Melee and 64 Smash, or maybe it was just 64 actually. But it was really cool. Like,
let me see if I can find. So we got, it was Halo Combat Evolved was on there.
Oh yeah, the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure arcade game.
Yeah, Venture on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like, it was because you don't get tournaments
like
that.
Yeah, you like don't get
that. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Dragon Ball Z 3, PlayStation 2 Edition. Yeah, like it was cool.
It was really cool.
It was really cool.
I don't think I would want that at like every convention though.
No, but it was nice.
Yeah.
Just something different, you know. And then, so that was that day. We just shopped. That was it. That was all we did.
Yeah.
And then we went home. And the next day, Sunday, actually today.
Today,
fun fact. Fun fact, it was today. We go really relaxed, super low commitment to looks, to outfits.
I wouldn't say super relaxed. We were in Ren Faire garb.
Okay, yeah. We were.
That's not super relaxed.
It's really relaxed.
That's relaxed for us.
It's relaxing for me.
But, like, we weren't in normal clothes.
Yeah, that's fair. We park in our secret spot, and then we get in. And this is, you know, this is a day where we had to do our final purchases, right? We didn't do any panels today. I was interested in trivia. I love trivia, but we missed it. So it is what it is. But we got, I got a figure. I got my Anya with the penguin figure, which I didn't think I was going to get a second Anya figure. But penguin. I love penguins. And also cheap.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it is pretty cheap,
appropriately priced.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I didn't even talk about the K-On! Figures that I saw.
Yeah.
So, I really like K-On! And I never see figures for it outside of the what are they called? Ninjroids. Outside of the Ninjroids, I never see like figures for it. And this convention had some. None of the characters that I would pick, and some of them at a questionable quality.
Yeah.
I think that they were honestly, I would go as far as to say that they were more expensive because there aren't a lot in America.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the prices were a little bit more spiked.
That booth had like pretty pricey. They had your Bond and Anya figure for $65.
They had, the figure that I got for like $30 at the last convention, they had for $65. Mm-hmm. This is why we look around, people. This is why we look around before we make our purchases. So, even though I would love to have a K-On! Figure, once again, they didn't have the character that I would have wanted. Because, you know, I mean, there's five girls, right? Mm. They didn't have the character that I would have wanted. And then I like two of them, Yui and Ui. That's their names. They didn't have a Yui at all. And the Ui, she just didn't look right.
Yeah.
She kind of didn't look right. There's something a little wonky with her legs. So I said no to that, even though I was like, man, I really want a K-On! Figure.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get the Anya and Bond. It's Anya and Penguin. Sorry. I got some stickers.
A sticker book.
I got a sticker book. Yes, I'm going to the sticker. I'm moving to the sticker book lifestyle because I have a lot of stickers and I really like stickers. And now I can get spicy stickers because no one's going to see them anyway. Mm-hmm. But speaking of spicy stickers, in the artist alley, when I went to go get stickers, I noticed that Spicy Panda was there, and I really like Spicy Panda stickers. Mm-hmm. But I also usually only see them at A-Fest, and in the area that we're in. Yeah. But I saw them at this convention, and I was like, you know what? Two of my Spicy Panda stickers, which are spicy stickers in and of themselves, are getting a little worse for wear. I want to buy them again and put them in my sticker book, right? Like, I want to do that. And I'm looking at their booth, right? And I only see one of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, but I want them both. So I'm just going to ask. And I like lean in and I'm like, do you have,
it's a Starbucks girl.
It's a Starbucks girl.
Yeah.
Who looks a certain way. And I lean in and I said, do you have any macchiatas? Because that's what she has named her character. She's named like her, you know.
Yeah.
Her character. I'm like, do you have a macchiata? And she was like, what? And I was like, do you have any? I was like, I don't see her, but do you have any macchiatas? And she was like,
it's like secret code.
It was
like,
secret code. Yeah. She was like, how do you know about macchiata?
Yeah.
And she like pulled her out and she was like, oh my goodness. And she, you know, with the her friend that she was like, she knows the macchiata by name.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, I love your stickers. I love your characters. And I showed her. I was like, mine are just getting a little busted up. So I wanted to get them again. And she was like, you know what? Because you know my characters so well, you can get a free sticker. Like, you can mm-hmm. pick one of the little freebies. And I was like, oh, thank you. But it was just
which
like.
Which one did you end up getting?
It was a little shark. Oh, okay. It's a little shark, yeah. But I'll put that on my water mm-hmm. bottle. It's small, so it'll fit now.
Yeah.
But it was a fun interaction. So, you know, it is fun to, like we were saying earlier, yeah. It's fun to see people that you see all the time, too. You know, because then you get to see, be also kind of be like, all right, wait, you got that's new, and mm-hmm. get to check it out, right? So I got that.
I bought expensive dice. Oh, but they were the reasonably priced.
Yes, they were reasonably priced.
Yeah, so usually dice are really expensive.
No, but our guy, and the dice man.
There is one dice man specifically that I like buying from. Because he has very nice dice, and they're appropriately priced. These are golden dice mm-hmm. that looked really nice. Like
really nice.
And so I was like, I can't pass this up. Mm-hmm. And so I used all of my money to buy it.
Yes, and he had some cool stuff. He's been inventing. Yes. He's been inventing. Yes.
Speaking of 3D printed stuff.
Yes.
He has a dice roller. That's
a tower.
We actually saw at another booth. So.
Yeah.
But it was more expensive at the other booth. But it had a catcher.
I had a catcher, yeah. But he's pretty cool. We see him at several conventions.
Yeah.
And he...
I don't think he's at Frontier, but I know he's at A-Fest.
A-Fest. Mm. Yeah, for sure. He's pretty cool. He, like I said, always cool dice.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, the little rolling game.
Yeah, he has a deal where you can roll 3 d20s, and if any of them land on a 20, then you get $5 off.
Or if all three of them land on the same number.
Yeah.
That was the other part of the deal. Yeah. You get $5 off. It's just like a nice, I mean, it's great way to engage your customers, yeah. First of all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, just give it a roll. Mm-hmm. And it's actually pretty funny because I mentioned it to somebody who was buying dice for their partner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you gotta wear the dice, man. And she was like, what are the dice for? And I was like, you can get $5 off. She's like, oh, really? yeah, so you got your really nice dice.
Yes.
Very nice dice.
It was meant to be. Because they were the last set, and then he gave me a special case for it.
Yes, a nice box. So they didn't just get thrown into a bag, and you got a nice mm-hmm. little box with it. And that is pretty much it. And then we call it kind of early. We went, mm-hmm.
Sundays are usually pretty early for us.
Yeah. Well, cause if there is not a panel, we just mm-hmm. do our shopping yeah. and then we get out. So that's us. Mm-hmm. So in closing, the Gaylord is not always the friendliest to us.
Yes. It is actually kind of a terrible place to have a convention.
Kind of.
And that's why it's like the only convention that's ever been at the Gaylord.
And, well, I cannot imagine that it is cheap.
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
It cannot be cheap.
Yeah.
It also cannot be cheap to hold a convention at the Gaylord during Easter weekend.
I know.
When they're doing other things. Like, are you serious? That's crazy. So, the Gaylord... It's such a conflicting location.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's nice.
There's lots of space.
There's nice and there's lots of space. That's great.
There's also pretty cool photo ops because they have the...
Oh, the arboretum. Yeah. Or the dome, the biome. Yeah. They have the biome in there. That's pretty cool. They didn't have as many photo booths this year, which also the photo booths that were there, not very great.
Yeah, there's something about the lighting that was really bad.
Like the location of it, it just it didn't really work out. But then on the other side, though, there's so much space. They get so many cool guests.
Yeah.
With then they do cool panels.
I think that WeebCon is a really good convention.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunately placed.
Right.
It is in a place that hates its guests.
It really does. It's like, if you're not staying there, it's impossible to get to.
Yeah, pretty much. And I really feel like the Gaylord really hates the weebs.
Yeah,
they don't know why we're here. They're pretty hostile towards them.
They don't know why we're here, man. Yeah,
and so it's just an unfortunate location.
Yeah. But it's so hard to say no to it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll go next year.
Yeah.
Like,
I want to see who they bring next year.
Exactly. Like, there's no other convention in North Texas that has Japanese guests.
Yeah.
Especially ones like this caliber.
Yes. And what is, like, crazy to me, I just want to, like, bring this up, is that typically whenever you go to a convention, you will, if you, you know, you buy the ticket, and we're probably going to get hit with it too, the survey.
Yeah.
The survey. You know, because they want to know how they did.
Yeah.
I get it. Every convention that I've gone to has given me the survey, and they always ask questions like, what do you want to see more from us? And then they give a list, right? And on that list is always Japanese talent, and I always pick it. But the WeebCon seems to be the only one that is pulling through.
Yeah. Well, I will let A-Fest off with a pass because that's a volunteer nonprofit convention.
That one's a nonprofit.
That doesn't count. Anime Frontier, what are you doing?
What are you doing, man? I know you got that Crunchyroll dough.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty good convention, just unfortunately placed.
It's just that you have to really you get it packed several lunches and you gotta get there early to get the parking, and and you also can't leave and come back, so like,
yeah, pretty much
that's why you got to have all the lunches. But that was our time at WeebCon. Pretty good time, so like pretty pleasant time overall. We had fun. It went by really fast. But yeah, that I think it just about does it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Once again, you can find us probably more often on Twitch at Konnichiwa also. But yeah, that's it for today. So thank you for listening. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.